Anlayacağım.
Okay, good evening everyone. Again, no Barry. He does promise he'll be back next week. He's got family duties. Those of you who know, he's on child number 8, and I think he's still needed in the early stages of the latest one. Obviously we didn't have one last week, and the week before we introduced the idea of creativity in regards to our conference coming up. In the absence of any other direction, we're going to continue the discussion, because it seemed that the discussion was, let's say, it wasn't as extensive as it should have been last time or 2 weeks ago, in that we probably failed to explain ourselves enough for people to realise, you know, what we're actually planning to do at the conference. And there's been a few discussions on the website, and you know, we're not going to, you know, sort of go into those sort of areas, but rather just clear things up as to what we're planning to do. So, so that's the apology out of the way first, the fact that we didn't explain ourselves enough. And the other thing was, Rosie's exercise was simply a warming up exercise. Perhaps we didn't use those words, but that is simply to get your creative brain cells just, you know, working away. It wasn't anything more than that. And yeah, I think Malcolm has just shown that. You want to do that again, Malcolm? unless you're just scratching your head, but there you go.
I was winding up my brain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was just a brain winding up exercise rather than winding anyone else up. So we think it's more important that we actually talk about the positive side, actually try to explain what we're all about. And I have to say, for me, my thinking is, if anything, it's changed in the last 2 weeks in terms of what I see as what we're hoping to do at the conference. So just to say, first of all, the conference is going to be in March this year in Hemel Hempstead, a place called Felden Lodge, which is the Boys Brigade headquarters. And I think it's March the 4th to March the 7th, and it's 3 nights. We haven't put our booking lines open for a reason. And I think the reason in my mind is that it's not actually a conference. Come to realise that it's not the traditional foundations conference that we're used to doing. In fact, we're not going to use the word conference, I can't remember, but we're going to use the word voyage of discovery, which probably... doesn't really say very much, but it just it's very intriguing and wants, you know, hopefully draws you in. But this is what we're planning to be, a voyage of discovery. The aim of the conference, or the original aim, is for us to try to unlock the creativity that we all have within us. Some of us are creative, but maybe need our creativity redirected. Maybe we're not, you know, there are parts of us that God wants to work on still. To unlock. Others of us perhaps have gone through our whole Christian life, or even our whole life, not being encouraged to be creative at all, or in fact maybe put off being creative. And we talked last week, in fact Paul gave a whole talk about, sorry, 2 weeks ago, about the educational system and how it's not really directed towards us, you know, working in you know, with our creative mind sort of functioning, but rather, you know, logical skills and being able to remember facts. That's what our educational system is all about, and perhaps also our church system. Perhaps churches don't recognize or encourage creativity, and that's been my experience as a creative person who's been a believer for over 30 years, is that, you know, I can just give so many testimonies of times when I've tried to be creative and not got much encouragement at all, because, you know, the church, as it seems, is very reactionary, doesn't like change. Anything slightly out of the ordinary can cause, you know, debate. You know, is it biblical? Where is it in the Bible? You know, where's the gift of creativity in the Bible? You know, where's the, you know, is sometimes you have to read between the lines to realize that God is creative, and he wants us, you know, to exercise, you know, our creativity as we are in his image. So that's all of the background. And I just think this conference, mustn't use that word. Again, you know, apologies for using that word. We need to come up with a better word than conference. But the idea is that it's only a small place, we just need the right people to be there. And so it's not a case of signing up and coming to a conference. It's a case of knowing that God wants you there. And because it's not, and this is where my thinking has changed a little bit, it's not just about yourself coming and being unlocked. And one thing it's not going to be about is coming to actually learn new skills. It's not that sort of place. You know, you might think, oh, I could learn a musical instrument or learn how to write or to draw or paint. It's not going to be that at all. There's no time for any of that stuff. It's a case of you come and whatever is within you will be encouraged, you know, to come out and to hopefully really you're going to flourish as a result of it. But the other thing is I'm very excited personally now, because my whole Christian life, I've always wanted to be part of a Christian creative hub, you know, a sort of place where people with like minds, let's say, can just be in a really safe place, open place, a place, you know, where God is, with encouragement and just sort of forward thinking, and then just rubbing off each other, you know. And Foundations has done that to an extent, but not primarily. And I've been thinking what may come out of this conference or whatever it is something of that nature, of some creative hub that can be birthed maybe at the conference. So for me, that's exciting. And I know Rosie's very excited. Rosie, like me, has had her ups and downs and misunderstandings from people in terms of her creativity. But Rosie is part of a growing group. Those of you who have met some of them, they were the Shamar dancers, that were started off by Ginny. Now Rosie is more or less in charge, and they're, you know, God has spoken to them, and for them to also be exploring their creativity, not just in dance, but in art and in lots of other ways. So part of this conference may be them coming along and with us, and like I say, you know, just rubbing off each other and see what happens. So that's basically an introduction. I think it's time for me to stop talking, and any of our team that may want to say anything or any questions, feel willing, you know, feel able to ask. Maybe we need a bit of theological underpinning, which is why we have Mr. Searle and Mr. Andrew here, maybe to remind us about, you know, God's wanting us to be creative. And yeah, David Searle is going to speak now, I think.
Yeah, I think what we really didn't emphasize last time is this is about gifts and not about self-expression. It is about responding to our creative God. And I remember Christine said she'd taken a close-up photograph of a spider's web covered with dew, and it was just so fantastically beautiful. And we've talked about lots of things, but we, you know, going back to Genesis 1, we have a God who is immensely creative in so many different ways. And it's how we respond to his creativity. Now, I've never considered myself to be particularly creative. So I'm coming along in order to have some of that, hopefully, locked down creativity released. And when we say creativity, we're not just talking about pencils and papers and paints. It's a whole range of things. So we've got Paul Lutcroft with us, who was a teacher of mathematics. We might well explore creativity and beauty in mathematics. We might do just ideas that we've got, things that people come along and they want to talk about. Nancy's really interested in food. We might possibly talk about creativity in one of the, you know, a session somewhere in a room somewhere. Creativity with food. We talked about creativity with words. Well, we might have a room where there's just somebody goes in and writes a word down, a random word, and someone else goes in and writes down a word by association with that and see if it builds a story. It's about releasing that creativity. We also talked about having opportunities for ministry. If I can quote Nancy again, she was told by her art teacher she hadn't got an ounce of creativity in her, and that's bogged you down for...
Never met anybody with less imagination in her life. That's what I was told was about the age of 13 or 14. I was always bottoming art after that.
So, and I'm sure there are lots of people who had similar experiences, particularly as we discussed the education system. So I think, you know, the idea is there'll be opportunities for ministry, for blockages, to pray with someone, to explore some of these things. For someone like me, I'm very goal oriented. So if I was doing a piece of art, I would have to produce a perfect piece of art. And you know, my stick men look like they're drawn by a spider with dyslexia. The whole point of this is we started calling it a journey of discovery, didn't we? A voyage of discovery. This is a journey that we want everyone to go on in their own way. I know Steve's spoken about having a music, but the whole point is to respond to our creative God, to offer these gifts which he has given all of us back to him as an act of worship. So worship is a you know, key element of all of this, not just, and as Steve said, not to learn new skills, not to come along to learn. I'm not coming along to learn how to draw, but what has God got in me, creativity. And I think beforehand, Paul's going to do, and others, perhaps do some teaching along what are the barriers to creativity, where we put ourselves down, self-deprecation. Mm-hmm. For me, and as I say, I'm goal-oriented, perfectionism, it's got to be absolutely perfect. Fear of making mistakes. I was listening to John Cleese this week, and he's saying there are no mistakes, there are no wrong paths when you're being creative, because you have to explore the path, and until you get to the end, you don't know whether that was a good idea or not. So the ability just to be able to relax in God's presence and responding to our Creator God in creative ways. We were friends from the church having lunch with a group of people yesterday, and we ended up talking about creativity. And the lady who invited us, actually, I don't know whether Steve will have ever heard of her, Judy McKenzie. That was before your time, before your time in the Christian scene. She was probably the leading Christian folk singer of the early 70s. And then she had her children. She had a break from it. She was actually prayed for when she was like 16 to receive the Holy Spirit. And the next day she wrote a song. First time she'd ever done anything like it, words and music. And she's written words and music for everything. But she had a 25-year break, and then she came back and was, that creativity was released again. So. And we were discussing this and how the church systems squash our creativity. How many church services can you go to where there is an opportunity for you to respond in some way? And of course, this is what we've been doing ever since F7, Hebraic Church Day, isn't it? Making opportunities for people to respond in whatever way that you want to respond, and not to look down on anybody's gift or expressions or whatever. So the freedom is one of our words, isn't it? Faith, freedom, and family. To come together with the faith in our creative God, the freedom to express ourselves, and family together, where there's no judgmentalism. Nobody's going to look at your whatever your creative thing might be and say, well, that's a bit of rubbish, isn't it? No judgmentalism, so that we can be totally free to respond to God in whatever way we feel he's drawing out of us. And all our creative gifts, I wrote down one of the things we said, all our creative gifts should be given back to God. And this is the opportunity to discover, or even just to use. You might discover, I've always wanted to, you know, and this is your opportunity. I think that's all I need to say at the moment.
No, it's really, really good introduction. I just wonder whether Mr. Andrew wants to add anything now before... Before he falls asleep, is he awake?
Don't forget to unmute.
Oh, yeah, you're muted, David. You're muted. You're muted. I don't think you can hear me.
I have to unmute. We can't.
David, that's it.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry about that. I think it's... I think, in a sense, that the whole exploration of the Hebraic Church that we did with Steve's navigation a few years back, that exposes the fact that there's a false dichotomy between theology, education, and creativity. I think in many ways we need to understand that a renewed mind will be a mind that is closer to the mind of God. And it will therefore be a creative mind. And so if you're going to be renewed in your mind, you have to be renewed in your thinking. If you're going to be renewed in your thinking, you have to be renewed by the truth rather than by some flights of fancy. And the truth is basically there in God's word. So the closer we examine God's word, the more we submit ourselves to the authority of God's word, the more our minds are going to change in line with God's, the more our minds are going to be creative like God's mind. And we're not going to be making a false distinction between the creative person and the theological person. They shouldn't be separate beings. We should all be theologians to some extent or another. And we should all be creative in any way that's possible for us. By, let's face it, it's theological nonsense to say that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who hovered over the waters at creation and was involved in the whole process, and then to say there's no creativity in us, that's complete nonsense. For me, the whole theological thing and the whole creativity thing is just all of a piece, and we need to learn to let it be part of a piece, really. That's my tuppence worth.
The first verb in the Bible, creates. God created.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Got to be important. But Mr. Shepherd had something to say.
Yeah, I just to add in that it's not limited to music, crafts, arts, and things like that, but very much about thinking also outside the box. In that, I think somebody said, it's possibly Paul said something about maybe we should imagine that there is no box. And for us to begin to think about the things that maybe our mindsets have trapped us in over the years, maybe beliefs or values that we've had, which have not been necessarily guided purely by scripture, but perhaps have been guided by our experiences, our background, our nurturing, whatever, to be able to begin to tackle things from a different perspective. I mean, I was talking to Steve today about it and saying, you know, and just what David's just said about thinking about things Hebraically takes a leap of imagination sometimes to be able to put yourself in the context of first century AD and to actually be there and to think about it as the way, in the way that the people hearing Jesus would have heard it because of their context, their culture, their language. And for us in 21st century, we see everything through 21st century lens and hear everything through 21st century lens. And to be able to move away from thinking, which is purely conditioned by our experience of this century and last century, and some of you maybe even the century before, I don't know. But I think that's the real challenge. And I think there's a great opportunity for to think about things from a different perspective, to step outside where we've been and begin to think, you know, actually, I need to challenge that thinking a little bit or think about it differently. And is it a way that I can find a new way of thinking about things? I don't know, is that helpful?
Yeah, I think so, because in a sense that I was aiming at F7, you know, that conference that's been mentioned a few times. but it's just finding the right atmosphere. If we're in the right atmosphere of openness or creativity, then perhaps our minds can start reverting back to the Hebraic way that we were created to have, rather than the conditioning that's come in.
Yeah, and that conditioning has blinkered us as well. We don't look at things with new eyes. Going back to Christine's spider's web, looking at the looking with fresh eyes. I showed this picture like this at one of our meetings. Why did God have to create, if I can move that out of the way, a plant that looks like that? It's Romanesco for those who are not so familiar with your vegetables. That is mathematically perfectly aligned, this is where we might come with numbers, based on a sequence of numbers known as the Fibonacci series. And you'll find that right across nature in sweet corn, in sunflower seeds and pineapple, the skin on a pineapple. You find it right through nature, and it's a beautiful mathematical pattern. Why did God have to do that? But look at it with fresh eyes. Look at this spider with fresh eyes and say, well, God did that. And why did he have to do it? He could have just put everything in a pill and given us pills to eat, couldn't he? So there's the idea of looking at things with fresh eyes and seeing God in the some of his ideas.
Yeah, back to my cobweb. What I just learned so much about God through looking at nature, and that's going to be the main thrust of what I'm going to be encouraging at this event, at that cobweb with the huge globules of water hanging on it. It just talked to me about how strong God is and how his strength is available to us to uphold us in whatever we're dealing with. And that cobweb is strong enough to hold all that water, because it was absolutely amazing. I will try and get that photo blown up for enlarged, perhaps, rather than blown up.
And it was created by a tiny little creature you would think wouldn't have the spatial awareness to put those strings out and follow it round and whatever. And in that sense, we're tiny little creatures in a great cobweb of creation. Mm. Can we get a sense of the space and the spatial alignment and the wonders of this world in which we're living, or created by our creative God?
I think Nigel's dying to say something.
Yes.
Well, no, I just we've spoken for half an hour, and I think that's been really helpful. I wonder whether now it'd be good to give half a dozen people a chance to ask questions about the conference. The Voyager of Discovery.
Can you tell us about creative Bible study?
And then we can, once we've got half a dozen questions, we can then kind of see who on the team might want to sort of spark a discussion about each of them, or maybe we can group the questions and answer, or just sort of have a discussion based around those questions.
I've got a great idea, Nigel. You can take over from now.
Because I'm sure everybody's got lots of questions. We've done a lot of talking about 2 weeks ago and today. And, I just sense that there's sort of questions bubbling. I don't know whether Elizabeth got a question or something else, but do you want to go ahead?
It was just following on before you spoke, Nigel, of learning to see. As I've taught photography for several decades, and one of the things is I send the students out, just down to the sea for a couple of hours, and they just start looking at things, and they look at all the details of the things on the shore, and they come back with amazing pictures. Just in those few hours. And it's just looking, it's just learning to see in a different way. It's just a follow-up, really, of what we've been talking about.
So I've put your point in the chat. If you don't think I've represented your point properly, then do type something different in the chat. And then, so if we just sort of get half a dozen or more points in the chat, then we can use them as a basis of how to carry on for the rest of the evening. If you're happy, Steve, to do it.
No, good idea. You carry on.
Anybody else want to ask a question or make a point?
I'd like to follow on from what Elizabeth just said, because I had an experience many years ago with a friend who was the head of an art department in a school. And I was visiting her one day because she had been ill. And there was a glorious sunny morning. Her house sat in a wonderful sight, and she got the sun almost all day. And there was a fantastic array of flowers, a beautiful vase of flowers. But it had there was something about the vase that just seemed to catch the light. And I just commented on it. I said, "Oh, I would love to have your skills to capture something of that." And she hurried off and came back with a sketch pad and a couple of pencils and shoved them into my hands. And she said, "Draw the shadows." And I said, what do you mean? She said, "Just keep looking at it until you can see the shadows. And when you think you've got the shadows clearly in your line of sight, then start sketching just the shadows." And I was quite amazed, because out of the shadows, and I'm not a brilliant artist by any stretch, but out of the shadows came the shape of the vase. And it was quite an amazing experience for me. And it was, again, it was a new way of seeing. It was another way of looking that I had never thought of before.
So out of deference to David, and because I probably haven't explained things very clearly, I didn't interrupt him. But what's suggesting is that we get half a dozen questions or comments before we address them and follow on with them, so that everybody who's got questions or comments get a chance to put them down, and then we'll follow on with them.
Right, see, sorry, I misunderstood.
But it was a wonderful observation.
I will interrupt people. Until lots of people have made their points. Because, you know, obviously one point will be, you know, we can easily respond to each point as they come up, but it might mean that people who've got points just don't ever get their point said. So I just want to encourage everybody who's got questions and a chance to air them, because, you know, this is really early on in the process, and people may have questions that they feel might feel they're a bit difficult to speak up. And I just really want to give everyone a chance to speak up and say their question, even if they don't think it's very important. But every question's worth asking at this early stage, because, you know, we're at a very early stage in formulating what we're doing.
You do say that, Nigel, but it's actually, we've only got 3 months to go.
Yeah, but we are in our early stages of planning, aren't we?
Absolutely. I think we'll be planning it to the day before the conference.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not embarrassed by silence, so, you know, just
Well, I think Rosalind's got something to say now.
Oh, great, Rosalind.
Yeah, just a minor point, really. It was I read Kit's article earlier.
Yeah,
and that's a field that I'm familiar with, so I'm sure that Kit has, you know, sort of more than a conference could cover. But if there were any kind of gaps that he's not covered that I may have done, because psychology is my background as well. And I know psychology sounds like a dirty word, but there is, as he said in his article, there's a lot that can be used for us as believers that could help. There are different layers as well to us. If we can understand blind spots, perhaps that could lead us potentially to be less judgmental, less assumptive. And I know that doesn't apply to this group here, but there are lots of people that might benefit from it that might not, you know, sort of, it might be used perhaps for you to write a book later, Steve. What I'm thinking, you know, this could benefit so many people that it might you know, the people, not everyone might benefit at that conference, but depending on wherever we might be able to chip in different ways, there could be seeds that could then develop, and it could go on then to, you know, to help further down the line. That's all I'm going to do. So in terms of creativity, we need to have our minds in a position to be creative. So if people are stressed or anxious, then that shuts down creativity. So, but I mean, Kit will, you know, sort of be more than familiar with that. So it's that kind of thing. There are different things in psychology. Obviously, our early years, our emotional relationships that we have early on and how they form, and so there are positive things that can be taken from that. Obviously, it's not going to be therapy, but if people could just have an insight into how we develop, how the brain develops, and so forth, it might, I don't know, it might be beneficial, I don't know. But yeah, so that's just, I'll throw that there just in case it could be used, I don't know.
Thank you, Rosalind, that's clear, helpful. Anybody else? Questions about what on earth we've been burbling on about? If you haven't understood us, clarifications, encouragements about what we've been talking about? Elizabeth, you have to unmute. Yeah, well done.
Am I unmuted now?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just, last time we met a few weeks ago, Rosie, we had a drawing exercise with Rosie, and I thought that was, I don't know, maybe most of you were here, but I thought that was really helpful because it taps into our subconscious. And I think that our education system is very much about our conscious mind. And I think there's lots and lots of potential there to do more from that, untapping our unconscious and helping release any pain or blockages that we may have. So I just wanted to follow on really from what Roslyn was saying, but, you know, combining it in a sort of visual way. Yeah, so.
Thank you.
Just looking at what's happening to David Shepherd's.
Yes, I'm finding that extremely distracting as well, Malcolm. David, you're kind of fluttering as if you're some kind of alien being.
He's just come out of another dimension.
For those of you who aren't used to my style, on the Tuesday evening, I have a very light style, so for apologies if you're used to Barry's more serious style. I tend to laugh rather a lot, and if that's off-putting, don't worry. And also you can pull me up and be rude to me and I don't take offence. You know, really the important thing is for you to talk and for to get things out. And if you feel that there's something that needs to be said, which hasn't been addressed at all, now's the time to do it. Actually, there are quite a few who do come on Tuesday here, so they can vouch for the fact that we have some ding-dongs. I know you've got some questions and some comments. And it's only the silence that will bring them out.
We know you love silence, Nigel. Battle of wheels. Who's going to break first?
I'm comfortable with silences too, Nigel, so you're not alone.
Well, I'm wondering, well, people might be formulating their questions. If there is an area that perhaps we should be discussing, in that there seems to be a general unease in the church today, a strange sort of paradox that on the one hand, if people are real, if they are serious about believing the Bible, then they accept the God who is capable of what we would call supernatural intervention, which is clearly not supernatural for him, but it is for us. And that whole supernatural dimension of what does it actually mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And the reason I'm asking, or at least flagging up the question, is because I've been trying for years to encourage lots of Christians who have skills and gifts. Now, they might be painters, they might be pianists, they might have any number of skills and gifts. But for me, there's a vast difference between sitting down to play the piano and getting the notes right and following the expressions marked on the music, and on the other hand, playing in such a way that the creative power of the Holy Spirit comes through the playing and it becomes an act of worship rather than just an act of musical correctness. And so I'm just flagging that up as a possible area for discussion.
So talking about sort of creativity has to be not just for ourselves. I mean, we have to be aware of what God wants to do through us. And I think as David said at the beginning, is that every gift has to go back to God.
Yes.
You know? So, you know, part of my testimony that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago is I had options to use my creativity in the secular world. And God made it very clear that I would not be successful if I did. So, you know, so that sort of deflected me and I've never looked back. But it's always a temptation to, you know, to think, oh, perhaps I should have a go at this, and not really checking first to see if God is in it. So I think part of what we should do at this event is to be able to perhaps listen to God through our creativity, and one thing being creative for its own sake, but to know that it's that we're in partnership with God, with the Holy Spirit in what we do. And for that, we may need to be helping each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So while folks are talking, those of you who've got questions, you don't want to talk, feel free to type them in the chat if you've got them. The chat function is very good for people who are shy to talk. But you know, at the moment, we've only got 3 points and 2 of them are by the same person. So you know, I can't believe that with the number of people on this Zoom that there are only 2 people with any thoughts at all about this forthcoming conference.
Mind you, some people have come not knowing we're talking about this, perhaps.
Yeah.
So,
but it's, you know, we're talking about expressing creativity, which is quite a radical subject for some Christians. Mm. Elizabeth.
It's okay. I'm just challenging you, Nigel. It's okay not to have a point as well.
Okay.
You know, it's okay just to decide to listen and, you know.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Thank you for making that point.
That's a good point, because one of the things that we did mention on the way through was having a session maybe on creative listening. And creative reading. These are some of the, you know, different ways we, you know, we've got this box mindset that creativity is music, dance, art, haven't we? And this, what we're trying to get rid of the box and look at all different ways. And does anybody get any ideas of ways we can be creative? We've thrown some ideas out there, but are there any other ideas of how you want to be creative? What's God given to you that's a creative gift that you can share with? I mean, Nigel makes wooden spoons, for goodness sake. I mean, he probably won't be doing that at this at this conference, unless he makes a wooden spoon so he can stir with it. But you know, yeah. Give
ideas. I'm very good at stirring.
Ideas of things that we can do that are creative, that beyond, you know, just think outside the box, get rid of the box.
I was talking to a physiotherapist and I asked her if she considered that her profession could be creative. And she said, oh, definitely. she said there are some physiotherapists who only ever do things according to how they were taught. And there are other physiotherapists who are constantly thinking how they can use what they were taught to get around people's physical disabilities. And she was one of those. And so people come to her and they say, oh, I can't lie on my back. Well, most physiotherapists would say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't treat you then. But she says she will find ways around doing the normal the normal treatments that she would do for someone who can only lie on their side. So she considers herself a very creative physiotherapist. And I thought that was very interesting. So, you know, what about your profession or your field of work? Have you considered whether you're creative in that or whether God might be calling you to do something creative related to what you've done in your field of?
I mean, Nigel, I think we're also open for people to come to bring the fruits of their creative endeavours themselves.
Yeah.
So that others can share with them and perhaps, you know, they can spark something off in someone else. So it's not, this is not an us and them, you know, it's not. We're not the teachers. we're all on the journey. We're all on the journey together. There's not going to be any teaching.
We're sort of fertilizing each other's minds as well and helping us to sort of understand more broadly what God has placed in us and see, as David has said at the beginning, that being created in God's image means that all of us have creativity at our core, because we're made in God's image. And it was the first thing that he did on earth was, or, you know, with the universe, was be creative. And we can't help but be creative. Rosalind.
Yeah, again, it's going to tap into some of the things that Kit was saying, and this is his field because he specialises in counselling. And I know it wouldn't be a counselling session, but to me, there's something creative about active listening and then letting, rather than doing the talking, letting the person pick up threads that would be helpful to them and sort of prompts, sort of getting them to expand upon things that would be helpful to them. But again, that's something probably that Kit's already thinking of. But to me, that's creative. And again, that's psychology.
Wow. I love that. The idea of active listening as a creative process. That's really amazing. Thank you. Good question from John and Jan.
Yeah, you can answer that one, Nigel.
In the chat. And also a good question from David Shepherd. Okay, so we've only got 40 minutes left. Let's start with these things in the chat. And if you've got any more, do put them in the chat. So Steve, as the one who knows everyone on the team best, do you want to say where you think, who do you think would be best to start with? Why don't we start with David on his own question about creative questioning? Why don't you start talking about that, David, and then Steve can think about
David had a very interesting comment at our last meeting, I think last week, about looking at what ifs, which I thought quite intriguing. I don't know whether that's an area you want to mention again, David.
I think the thing is, I mean, I was picking up really on what Rosalind was saying very much, in order to listen, you very often have to ask pertinent questions and good questions. And sometimes great hypothetical questions thrown at people enable them to unlock their thinking and think about things differently. So for example, if you were to have a question tonight, what would that question have been? And suddenly somebody goes, oh, right, I can think about things differently now because you're only asking me if I were to have one. And there are ways of asking questions, and I'm sure Rosalind and Kit will know this, that just draw people out. But you then have, as we've been talking about tonight, about is using silence to enable people to go through a journey of self-discovery and to talk about things and find out things sometimes which they didn't know. And, you know, I've actually taught quite a bit on questioning skills as a trainer. And it seems to me, certainly, you know, I mean, sometimes you go and visit my kids, and I ask them tons of questions and listen to them, and they ask me nothing. And it's almost as though it's a skill which has been forgotten in society about how to ask questions. And we had this lovely thing, you bought the book, I think, Steve, about how Jesus asked more questions than he did anything else in the New Testament. And it's just remarkable how many questions Jesus asked of people. And actually that led to self-discovery for them as well. So it's an interesting area of just of questioning and finding creative ways to ask questions. And the one Steve mentioned was about what if? What if I knew now, if I knew then what I'd known now, you know, how would I have been different? What would I have focused on differently during my life? There's so many what if questions that we could use to unlock our creativity. I think it's, you know, I'm rambling now, but that's kind of where I was coming from.
Malcolm?
Well, what I was going to say was that Jesus normally answered a question with a question, but it was to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who think they know everything.
Yeah, questions are a very good way of challenging those people who think they know everything, don't they?
Can I just speak a little bit about what my plan is for that weekend? Nigel, is that okay?
Yes, yes.
Ask your permission.
Yes, boss.
I don't want to spoil the flow of... are you still waiting for two more questions before we can move on?
I think we do need to be... I think we need to honour people by trying to get through their questions, though. So we need to be quite brief.
As someone said, I might say something which might actually spark off a different flow of thought, and then they'll respond to what I'm saying. That might actually stimulate people. Because you've got something interesting to say, and someone, I think David Searle, tried to encourage you to speak about what you're planning to do. So maybe those of us who have already further developed in our ideas can talk about what they want to sort of major on at that weekend. So if I just say a few words and see, and then have room for response, and this, is that okay?
Yeah, I mean,
you're not happy, are you?
Well, it's just that we have asked people to come up with their questions. I think we need to give them their answer, you know, give it a chance to answer them, and we're going to run out.
The questions are leading in that direction as well, what I'm seeing up here. So,
yeah, they are really.
They're leading to that point rather than having it now. A bit premature, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at the end would be the better time for that, because I think it will. I think David's right. I think John and Jan's, or whoever John or Jan's question is, a really good one, because it does lead into us saying we don't know, but it's up to, each of us needs to ask the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit will be able to answer that question for each of us. For those who can't see the chat, one or other of them said, I'm still unclear where this is going, this conversation stroke, this voyage of discovery. Are we looking at finding ways of being creative that we're not aware of in ourselves, or helping to extend ways we are aware of? Well, only the Holy Spirit can talk to you about that, because we're not trying, we don't have an agenda for you. The Holy Spirit will put his finger on what he will put his finger on. And only he knows that, and that's the voyage of discovery that he's calling you on, if he's calling you to come at all. And that's his job, and that's his business. So either or both of those things might happen.
As Rosalind's put in the comments, both.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Steve asked me to answer that question.
And the next one.
I think the key thing is we're creating an environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. They're not going to be prescriptive of how people
definitely
function. They're not going to have to go along a certain route. You know, the fact is that they're there and then the Holy Spirit will direct them once they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to Kit, do you want to answer some of the things, the comments that Elizabeth and Rosalind have been making at all?
Sorry, I just got back in the room then, Nigel. Can you repeat that?
I can't see through your honest. So, shall I give you a bit of time and come back to you?
No, that's right. Can you just repeat the question? I just heard you.
Yeah,
you
said... So in the chat, Elizabeth and Rosalind have been making a couple of questions each about... both about the document that you sent out, but also generally about the voyage of discovery. And I just wondered if you might be able to respond to the issues that they brought up.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of those comments are really, really helpful. What I would not like to do is to go down a red herring, because in some ways I wrote that in response to what Steve asked me to do it because of some misunderstanding last week or 2 weeks ago. And in a way, somebody thought that we were going down a kind of a mindfulness route. And I just put that in to explain what mindfulness was and what it wasn't. And so in a sense, I didn't want to go down there. But I'm also thinking that there's an awful lot of truth in what Rosalind said and Elizabeth, that and even it taps into creative silence, because we do an awful lot of nattering. And we exclude an awful lot of experiences which actually are very, very meaningful. So I think I do need to think a lot about what Rosalind said, because it wasn't on my radar to actually bring mindfulness into the conference whatsoever. But it's perhaps another one, maybe. I don't know. I need to think that through. But there were some really good points. I think Rosalind wants to respond to that.
Please, if I may, I didn't mean to focus. I wasn't implying that you would want to focus on mindfulness specifically, but it's just I would imagine in one session it could only be touching on a number of things rather than focusing on one thing. So my thoughts were more or less to just kind of throw in insights from the field of psychology / counselling, because obviously it's not going to be therapy, just to give people insights to those that don't have a background in that, in any way that we could, that might give insight to help people to better understand themselves and others around them, with an aim to helping us in our Christian walk.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kit, I rather threw you in at the deep end, because I'm aware that you haven't been you haven't been here for the whole time. And I felt that Rosalind was more offering help with the planning than the actual, you know, offering to do something at the conference, and maybe talking to you about with her profession, offering some of her professional knowledge with the planning of it or something. Is that right, Rosalind?
Anything really that, you know, any kind of, if I'd covered anything that Kit hadn't focused on, I mean, I don't know whether there is anything, but it's just that my sort of background is more in sort of different modules of psychology, whereas Kit is focusing and specialising in counselling. I mean, I've sort of, you know, sort of introductory, sort of have some knowledge of that, but I'm not a practitioner, whereas Kit is. So, I don't know, you know, I don't really know even. It's just that these ideas had started, you know, ideas around love and compassion and emotional attunement, all these kind of things were coming from somewhere else before you started talking about this. So I'm wondering if this is of the Lord. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm suggesting, really. It's just that these things have come up, and so I'm wondering whether whether there is anything to explore there. I'll leave it to Kit anyway. I don't know. If if there's anything that you want to pick up on, Kit, do let me know.
Sure.
Otherwise, please just ignore everything I've said.
Sure, thank you.
Steve, do you want me to respond to Malcolm's point? So I thought one of the things Steve's going to fill this out a bit more with a bit more detail in a minute, but one of the things he wants to do is have a room specifically to do with a number of different rooms with different in relation to different aspects of how we engage with the Bible. This is all sketchy ideas at the moment, so we don't have a clear idea of the detail. So what you're listening to, I've just made a note of that link, and I'm definitely going to read that because that will be useful for me to see. One of the things I've got very excited about, what Steve's suggesting, that the input that I might have in this. So my area of, I have my fingers in a lot of creative pies, but one of them is that I paint Bible verses, but in a totally different way to how Rosie does it. So those of you who've been to conferences in the past have seen Rosie writing Bible verses on her paintings, and her paintings are very dynamic. And mine are totally and utterly different, almost no words on them at all, and very
abstract.
Abstract, and I won't describe them. When you see them, you'll see, and they bring a very strong reaction. Mine, a lot of people really hate them, and a lot of people absolutely love them, and so they bring a very strong reaction. And as an artist, that's fine, because you'd rather have a strong reaction than someone saying, "Oh, that's nice," and walking past. So for me, engaging with the Word of God in such a way that people have a strong response is what I've been doing for the last 10, 20 years. And so that's something that I would love to just be doing during the conference. And if people want to come into the room where I'm doing it and express the Word of God in their own way, in a visual form, then they'd be very welcome to. And if they want to, I might learn from them, they might learn from me in whatever way. So there might be another room in which we reading the Bible out loud in different ways, learning how to do this in a creative way that helps us learn how to communicate the Word of God in a verbal way that excites people. It doesn't have to be dramatic in terms of, acting it out, but it could be. It could be just using the power of the English language in a way that it is designed to be used. So many people are really good at it, but so few of them seem to use it from the lectern, so to speak. I don't know why I use the word lectern. I haven't been in a church with a lectern for a long time. But, there's lots of different ways that we engage in the Word, aren't there? So, Steve, are there any other questions that we haven't addressed yet? Do you want to?
Are there any other questions that have come out of the discussions that anyone...
Or does anyone... does that spark anyone off with any responses, any of those things that have been said? Elizabeth, go ahead.
Yeah, I think for me, it's all about knowing who we are in Christ, knowing his love, and allowing his Holy Spirit to heal us and release us, and to get into that freedom that he has already won for us that we're his children, he loves us. He wants us to flourish and grow and be all that he made us to be. So that's for me what it's about.
It's an excellent step along the journey, isn't it? Yeah. Any other responses? I don't want everybody who's been already talking to dominate. If there's anyone who hasn't said anything yet, I've done too much talking. Okay, Rosalind.
I just wondered, is this a creative thought? I don't know, but I just wondered whether, because we're all aiming to emulate Christ, to become more Christ-like in our walk, whether we might pick up on different attributes of Christ's nature, and then each sort of person that's attending, maybe to bring something. So you would bring art into that. Kit would bring his background. I don't know your name. Elizabeth, yeah, could bring in photography, perhaps. And whoever else, David is bringing, was it mathematics, I think? Yeah, so I don't know, quite sure, you know, how you would do it, but if you could each bring something in a creative way that would help the rest of the people that were there to grow in their sort of in those different aspects. I'm not explaining it very well.
That's a very similar thought to how, you know, one of the things that we thought of in the planning group. So you're thinking along very similar lines to us. I think, Mike, you are looking like you were about to try and say something, but realised you were muted. Is that right?
Yeah, I can. As I look out the window to the right of me in the daytime, there are sheep in the field, cows, amazing creation. Got the local woods, and each tree has a different bark, each different leaves, different animals, the plants, the procession of plants throughout the year. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And to me, I would add to that, creation declares the creativity of our God. And as Nigel said, we are made in the image of God, so there must be a creativity within us. The question is, how do we recognize that creativity? How do we harness it? And how do we use it for the good of other people and the building of the church?
Good questions. All good questions.
I think one of the things about the Conference of the World Review, it's process. We're interested in process, not in achievements. So the process of creativity, and someone doing something creative with music might inspire someone to do something creative in another genre or medium. Just understanding or getting more to grips with the process of being creative, rather than thinking, I've got to get a pen and a paper or a musical instrument or a piece of wood or whatever. I think that's what we're talking about, encouraging one another, and the cross-fertilization of ideas between all the different gifts that are going to be. Everybody at the conference is going to have one or more gifts to express in one way or another. So that's how I see it, this cross-fertilization of ideas about creativity through with the Holy Spirit, of course, is the one that is revealing it to us. And in everything, the Holy Spirit points to Christ. So that's where I see it going. But I suppose it's best for Steve, as he's the coordinator, convener, creative.
Does anyone have any other point they want to make? I know Steve's champing at the bit to explain his. Perhaps we ought to hear Steve's vision next.
Well, a few things I thought have been actually talked about already. The idea that it's going to be a melting pot there of people, some already coming with creative ideas, others coming to discover their creativity. And it's not just the case of us telling them, this is how you're going to do that, that's how you do that. You know, it's very much a case of people finding their own route through the weekend. And all we do is provide the facilities and the openings for them, for the Holy Spirit to send them to. And then the journey is theirs. So it's key for us as organisers that we create the right environment for the people who are going to come, which is not easy. There are obvious things we can do. They've got obvious things like Rosie, we know, has done this before at our conferences. At the last one in Scotland, she had a room, her art room, and people came in and out. And she's got this ongoing project with like a robe of many colours. I can't remember the name she had for it, but really an ongoing thing that's going to take years, of a great big robe that's going to have creative ideas from various people, whether they've put painting on it or they've stitched something in or they've written something. And so I know she's going to be doing that and her normal prophetic art as well. I was just thinking about, for me, because what I hinted at the beginning is that I do see a wider purpose for this, and I'm hoping that God agrees with me. Or I'm hoping that he's put the idea in my head to start with, more like. The idea that this... I like the idea of continuity. If we do something, that then something can be birthed. It'd be good if something can be birthed, because our church and our world needs creative Christians to deal with the two major blockages in our society, which is the coronavirus and the woke. Those two together, unheard of just a few years ago, are absolutely destroying our society. And I do not see a Christian response. And I do not see a creative Christian response. And that's something I want to really push all my efforts towards once I've got my book out of the way, which is getting closer now, David. So the room that I, talking about having rooms, but at the moment I can see five rooms, in the sense that five people have approached me, including myself, with the idea of having a room. And Nigel's one will be based on the scriptures, as he said. So how he's going to do it is totally up to him. But Rosie will have a room. We've got a room with someone called Lynn, who's absolutely wonderful at storytelling, the spoken word, and using creative ways of showing people how to tell stories, how to convey the gospel in creative ways. She will spark people off in that area. We've also got another lady called Jane who does similar, but with songs, and she's very experienced with schools, teaching them music and writing songs and singing songs, but very much in her case Bible based. That's where she's coming from, and she also does drama as well. So we've got two things there. But my room is going to be a room full of ideas. It's ideas that I'm interested in. People to come, and if you don't think you've got an idea when you're outside the room, I guarantee once you're in the room, there will be an environment where together we can think of creative ways of not just unlocking ourselves, but just unlocking our society and just starting something up. Someone's got to do it. I don't see anyone else doing it. And this, for me, would be the ideal place to be looking at. How do we get the gospel out in a world where COVID is running rampant and people are scared of saying anything? If they are allowed out the building, they can't actually say anything because of the woke agenda. So, the devil has just got these two pronged attack at the moment in the church, and the church is not responding. And I just feel that creativity is the spark, is that we have to respond to the situation in new ways and not just, just do things the old way, because the old ways are not going to work in our current situation. So let's You know, I'm not saying that the gospel has to change. You know, we've got the same message that hasn't changed, but it's just the way that we get the message across. So that's, for me, is my thrust, I believe, that the way that the Lord is leading me. So, you know, if that interests you, then, you know, think and pray about it. And ask me, if you've got any questions now. Does John and Jan, you've got a question or a comment?
Yeah, come back on what you just said. I think, Steve, you reminded me a bit of the organisation called MIT, American group, which is more oriented towards science. But you can go there with an idea, even though you have no idea what application it can have or what you can do with it. And you can go there, and if they sort of get fired by the idea as well, they will give you money and they'll give you time. They just say, fine, see what you can do with it, see where it goes, see if there's anybody else here who can add your idea to their idea.
There's no money involved in
that. Amazing things have come out of it.
You're not going to get paid for any of your ideas. But a great principle, you know, to create an environment where people are free, even if they're stupid, they sound stupid, their ideas, we have to accept that God can, you know, work in so many different ways. And you know, things that you're going to say in that room, you would not say maybe anywhere else. So it's almost like when you come in that room, just leave everything, leave all your prejudices behind, leave all your misapprehensions or anything that will hold you back. And then I think there'll be a lot of unlocking for people. And that's the way I'm hoping it will work anyway.
Okay, well, what I actually raised a hand for reminded me very much, our granddaughter has just signed up for a sort of Saturday course. I think it was described as exploring craft. But each week she gets 3 hours of something completely different. So one week it might be painting, one week they might be doing something with wax, they might be doing pottery, they might be, I'm not quite sure what. It's quite a number of weeks. And so no idea of what they're likely to be exploring each week. And I think that's part of what interests her.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just being open to what God will have for you. You might come out of that weekend totally different, in that God has unlocked something you never knew you had inside you. You know, and that would be wonderful. You know, it could be the start of your voyage of discovery. That was the whole point of it. So. Any more questions, comments? I'm running out of time now, so.
Well, I was been thinking to myself as a result of all this conversation, I'm not very creative. But then my thoughts went on to my website, and two things on there, which I wonder if you would consider them creative, and that is to gathering data and tabulating it. For instance, biblical chronology is one of the things, and another one is the names of God, which I've sort of collected and put them all on. Would that be considered creative?
Well, it is, because you've created it. It's come out of your mind. You haven't copied it from anyone else. God has, I suppose, given you the idea to start with, and you've gone to a considerable length of time and plenty of effort from Kit, I understand, to actually get this thing working. So, yeah. Oh, someone new. Anita.
Hello, everybody. I've listened to what everybody has to say. Now, if we leave aside the aims of the workshop and what it's trying to help people discover, I just wonder whether it is worth the team going away and seek the Lord a bit further as to why is there still an unspoken nervousness about this conference? Is there a duality of godly versus secular in the approach that people are afraid of? And maybe people are not asking the questions because they're silent, because there is a, I think there is a tendency in the community of God to be more critical, and you could get cancelled out and labelled as an upstart if you were to dare to question what is going on. So I just wonder whether, you know, here's an opportunity to go and pray about it, because I think there might be a nervousness about this. There is a tension going on here. And I think maybe it's worthwhile waiting on God to discover what that tension is, because I think there is a nervousness out there. And I sense that in the questions and in the questions that are not asked. So I think it's just something for you guys to go away and think about it.
That's probably the most pertinent comment made by any of us today, I think, because we have to be honest. And I've sensed different different mindsets, but you know, we're all coming from different directions. We've all got I've got my hobby horses, and you know, Nigel has his, and whatever. It's just trying to mesh it all together in a way that is going to give honor to God, and it's going to be his conference and not our conference. And it's true, and then Nigel's himself said that, you know, we're still part of the process. The process hasn't ended yet, you know. I know there's only 3 months to go, but it may be it will still take another 2 months to really know exactly what we're doing. And that's fine, because I think we can probably hit the ground running at the conference, because that's what we tend to do at foundations anyway. We never do much planning. So I'm quite happy for us to, you know, if we don't get it right until just before, that's fine by me. but Anita, it's good. I mean, perhaps your job is to monitor us, and you know, you can be the one that just keeps an eye on us, and or me maybe, and guides me when you think that perhaps you said the balance between the secular and the spiritual, and we in a sense we can't be so spiritual that we're not dealing with practical matters, and we can't be so secular that God isn't there. You know, it's finding this balance, but at the end of the day, it has to be what God wants. So I'm glad to see that Jeremy has something to say.
Well, I wanted to thank Anita for that. These are very big subjects. We're talking about God, and we're talking about people, and we're already, you know, it's big stuff. If this voyage is going to be a matter of very self-aware people coming together, looking at other people's gifts and maybe affirming them and trying to build their own gifts, then obviously, I think there might be some difficulty in that. But listening to you occasionally, Steve, you're just sort of sparking off into what you're hoping would be for Christ. You know, one's almost sort of taking off a little bit in losing awareness of self and gaining the awareness of him. I've been listening to a lot of it tonight and thinking, well, is Salt Shakers for me? I've never felt that before. So I'm grateful to Anita to sort of vocalise that. It doesn't mean to say it's wrong. It does mean to say that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this comes forward.
Yeah.
Hit something there. It's not the idea of self-aware people, but it's God-aware people, or people to become more God-aware. I've got on our notes here to be aware of awe of God as creativity flows through us is one of the things we have said in one of our lineup meetings. So it is God awareness which is the focus, expressed in whatever way you can express it. not self-aware creative people coming to celebrate art or dance or music or word or whatever, you know. As an awareness of God, which then prompts, births something in us, and it should come flowing out of us, that river of living water that Jesus said would come from inside us through the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and one of the other things is that we're in a context now of your awareness of the Lord every minute of the day, walking with him and enjoying him, being the goal. So if you then fail to be aware of yourself, then you're not achieving your goal. And yet, you know, we can see dangers in that if we're discerning, and yet it sounds so good.
And also, I would like to say that I've been quiet the whole time because I was a bit nervous and I was a bit confused. And the word of God said that where there is God, there is liberty. But I felt like tonight it wasn't any liberty of expression. People were like holding themselves. And I thanked Anita for bringing that on the table, that we need to pray and ask, seeking God, because we can get confusing with the spirit of activity or the world activity. It's going to be mixed up, and then confusion. We don't have the straight line yet, so we can ask God for direction. You know, if the subject is good, but not for all of us. Yeah, people, they're meant to be creative. And those they are shine, those they don't even know what creative mean. And what I was seeing, it was like, okay, I was a Sunday teacher. I was creative, you know, stories for the children, for them to understand easily the Bible. But on the other side as well, I can be a creative person for the world things. I create stuff, you know. But when we go to a conference that is a Christian, we're going as a people of God, going to teach the world the things of God. So we have to be mindful with the Spirit of God. We cannot just go there just for the sake of going, follow the flocks. It is not right for you and for us. So we need to be equipped with the Holy Spirit, knowing exactly what we're going to say. Is it from God or is not from God? And to have peace, because where there is no peace, God is not there. So we need to have peace for yourself personally, for ourselves personally, and then to deliver that for others. Because we're not going to, you know, going with double-minded. We're not going to play the shortcuts. Okay, God is there, but the Bible said that in the book of Psalm 127, first, he said, if the Lord didn't build the house, what does it mean? We will reap in vain. So we don't want to do that. So as our sister Anita was saying, we need to go back to God and pray, seeking him. He is our solution for everything. I think because I was really uncomfortable, I didn't know what to say. You know, I didn't have that boldness to say that, listen, can we go back to God? But Anita came, you know, and I thank God for that. And I don't want to offend anybody. We are all one body. We are all sharing the same God. So we just need to seek. I will seek God for that. I would love to be part of this conference, but if I'm not sure about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to share, there's no point for me to come. So I will seek God for that. That's all I want to say.
No, it's good, all this honesty coming out, which is very refreshing. I don't know if Nigel's still here, because this is what Nigel just wanted, this, you know, to happen a little bit earlier, because
this is the sort of creativity we wanted to encourage, isn't it?
It is a sense that you know Jeremy, with your doubts, and you know, we don't know what we're doing, Jeremy. We never do know, you know, we're looking through a glass darkly. It's not something that, you know, is a straightforward conference. It's going to be fraught with misdirection and misunderstandings and whatever. You know, as Anita said, you know, perhaps we just need to seriously pray more into it. Perhaps there's not enough prayer at the moment. Perhaps we're not talking to each other openly enough. But the intent is there. The intention is to provide something that will give God the glory through unlocking people and helping them to reach their true potential. And, you know, if that's the mission statement, then that's all we've got to go on. How we actually achieve it, we've still got 3 months to sort it out. So even all the ideas we've had today, you know, we could end up with something very, very different. But it's just the intention, and it won't be for everyone. As Christiane said, you know, it may not be for her. And we want people to be that honest and to decide, well, I don't think it is for me, so I won't come. But, you know, we've got a fantastic conference coming up in July, which is more straightforward and more, you know, our traditional kind of conference. And perhaps you should wait until that one. But this one, I think, is very much a sense of calling, because it is a small number. You know, we're not going to be allowed to have that many people there. So, you know, it may not be you, you know, may not be some of us in the team, may not be me, you know, who knows. Anyway, Rosalind.
Thank you, Steve. Before we leave, I just want to emphasise that whatever I've mentioned is absolutely Christ-focused, and that's the only way it would be here in my understanding of, you know, whenever I've attended these sessions. So the trouble is, it's all to do with language, isn't it? And sometimes secular language, or rather language which is neutral, has been hijacked by, you know, the secular world. And so we all do make assumptions about the meaning of words, about what someone might say. Yeah, that's the point I wanted to make, really. Yeah.
It's a good point. Creativity itself is a new language that some of us need to learn.
Yeah. It is very different to what we're used to. So there's always going to be misunderstandings. I mean, we had misunderstandings, you know, 2 weeks ago, and we're probably going to have misunderstandings today. And probably every time we express ourselves, that, you know, it's like you said, Rosalind, it's limitations of language sometimes doesn't come out properly. And, you know, but at the end of the day, if it's not Christ-centered, then there's no point doing it. You know, and you know, Jeremy, that's always been what Salt Shakers is about. We're not doing stuff, we're not doing anything to make money or to be, you know, fame or fortune. It's everything we do is Christ-centered, and otherwise we might as well just give up and have a happy retirement and just do nothing. Yeah, because it is a struggle doing these things, you know, but we need to get it right, and we'll just endeavor to listen. But maybe you can be praying for us, you know, if nothing else, perhaps we should start a prayer group just on this subject, maybe. You know, another WhatsApp prayer group, or just pray for us anyway. You don't need to be praying together, but we do need wisdom, you know. So thank you, Anita, for sparking off. You know, the meeting really only started when you spoke, which is good. So does anyone else, because we're going to finish now, I think. So anyone, any concluding remarks? Oh, John, you got something to say?
Yeah, just comment back on what was just said. It struck me that language itself has been hijacked. And what we thought meant something, suddenly we find means something different. And if we're not abreast with all the latest in social media and young thinking, etc., we can find we're saying things which, to half our audience, means something completely different and may well be quite offensive to them. Any thoughts?
That's a discussion in itself. we'll do that one next week. We'll tell Barry to. but yeah, we have to express ourselves. Yeah.
Steve, I'm so sorry. Just one very brief point. Shouldn't the secular and our faith be one anyway? There shouldn't be any differentiation. And that's really what we're trying to take out to people, are we
not? Absolutely. I totally agree, 100%. But we're forming our own language. We've got our Christian language. And we tend to revert to it too many times. Well, I think Kit's got something to say because he's turned himself on, so...
Oh, no, not at all. I was just fascinated, but yeah, sorry. I keep having to go in and out. So. There was an interesting comment, though, earlier on, and it just made me think. I watched a John Cleese video a while back about him and his creativity, because he's written a lot on creativity. Mm. And he was saying how the current woke climate stifles creativity. So in other words, if you think you're going to be shut down, then you don't bother to say anything.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking that really is, so what Anita said is so important, because in this community, we have to be in a place where we actually trust each other enough to say something, even if it's really stupid, that we can actually say it, otherwise we're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's really important. I'm quite excited about that. So, yeah, and what you said, John, is wicked.
Wicked. No, it's bad. So, John, you're not into the youth culture like me and Kit are.
I think our slogan sums up everything we said, though. Faith, family, freedom. Mm. That's our subtitle for all foundations. Mm. Faith-based. We're a family coming together, and there's freedom. If there's not freedom in your family, you're not going to get it anywhere else, are you? Mm. And that's the Hebraic, and that's what we've been talking about. As Rosalind just said, you know, the secular and the faith coming together, it's all one, not this Platonic dichotomy that we normally live in, boxes. Boxes. Faith, family, freedom.
And fun.
And fun, yes. It will be good fun.
Elizabeth.
I think for me, I just always have to keep coming back to the word. And, you know, Jesus said in the end times, there'll be such a level of deception. And I think we're living in such a deceptive time, and we need to have such a love of the truth, a love of his word, and a real perseverance to stay the course. And, to support our Christian community and develop a unity amongst us. And that's hard. And I think the honesty tonight has been good. It's been encouraging. So thank you all very much. Thank you, everyone.
So. Thank you. Yeah, thank you all. It's been good. There's a lot to think about. So this will be recorded, so... it's just worth listening again, I think, for all of us. I'll certainly be listening to it again, and other people who are not here, it'll be good, because you know, it just shows you how easy it could be for us to be diverted from God's journey. Maybe it's such a precarious journey. We have to get it right, and we can only get it right through others correcting us where necessary. You know, we're not clergy and laity here, you know, and all probably the most sensible things have been spoken by those of you who are not in our leadership team. You know, I say, you know, probably all of you, and that's great, and that's what, as David said, that's what family is all about, and we should hold on to that. And even if you don't quite get it, or if it's not for you, then still pray for us and still tell us if you think we're going wrong. And we won't necessarily listen to you. Well, I don't listen to anyone. but I'm surrounded by people who force me to listen now, so that's probably a good thing. So if I was doing this by myself, who knows what you'd end up with. So I'm really glad.
Is Rosalind saying goodbye?
No. No, I just wanted to say that if I've said anything that is out of line, I hope you'll forgive me because, well, seriously, because I obviously I'm not, you know, I don't have the strength of the word that that most of you do, and I trust the leadership, and I trust you all to please put me into place if I'm wrong, because I want to be absolutely, you know, sort of on the well, I don't know what the expression is, but anyway, I want to be, you know, absolutely aligned with the word. I, you know, so I do apologize if I've said anything which seemingly, you know, has been amiss, but it hasn't been from my end, because I know what I mean, if you see what I mean. Sorry, but do put me right if it's if I'm wrong.
You don't need to apologize. I'm sure we've all said things that some of us have not really understood or got wrong. We just say what's on our heart, Rosalind, and that's a good thing about you, you know. So don't apologise. I presume Nigel has gone. It's a shame, because Nigel was just endeavouring to get us to where we are actually now, and he's missed the whole thing. So we'll make sure he listens. So, and also David Andrew had to leave early. So anyway, we are running out of time, or we've gone over time. I don't know where we're going from now. We'll continue to have meetings, and we'll continue to keep you informed. Again, you know, we haven't really started advertising it yet, and I think maybe we'll need a few more discussions before we get there. I don't know, because once we start advertising it, then it's almost like we've opened up, you know, and you know. Who knows, we might get people coming that shouldn't really be coming. And I'm not saying that looking at any of you. I'm just saying in general, it needs to be the right people, even if they seem to be the wrong people to us, as long as they're the right people for God to be there. Yeah. You see what I mean? So the people we might think are not the right people could be the ones that God has earmarked for the treatment that we can give. Dave, you're telling me to slow down and speed up. Make up your mind. Well, I've had enough. I'm all done now.
I'll stop the recording, shall I?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe someone can pray.